With what he has been viewing, we welcome James Crute in the Christchurch studio.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thanks. You've been having a bit of a binge on the British Film Festival.
Yes, it's the first time we've ever had this in New Zealand. It's an Australian invention, I have to say. They've been running it for a few years now, and it's currently running until the 13th of November in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin, Tauranga, Hamilton, Palmerston North, Hawke's Bay and New Plymouth. 28 films, kind of a cross-section. There's a couple of old classics in there, like The Elephant Man. There's a few that have come back from the New Zealand Film Festival, but there's also a whole raft of movies that you can kind of sneak preview, and also some that we may never see again. One in particular that I'm quite excited about, which I got to see the other day, is Official Secrets. Now, this is the story of the whistleblower, Catherine Gunn, who was working for the British people, she says, not the British government. She was an interpreter and was, monitoring different wires and things like that. And she, like everyone else, got a memo from the NSA base in America, basically asking them to dig up dirt on the members of the Security Council so that the US could pressure the vote to go their way to take them to war. Now, listeners might remember, of course, Tony Blair and George Bush and the rest of the gang trying to rattle sabres within the UN to get their war in Iraq, declared legal. And the Observer newspaper in particular picked up on Catherine Gunn's leaked memo and tried to put it in the public consciousness before it went through. Of course, she failed, history recalls, but this is a fascinating account of how it all went down and just some of the amazing things that, a lot of us kind of don't really remember about those events in 2003.
Who's playing her role?
Keira Knightley, who has kind of become a bit of a revelation. She started doing these more serious roles again. She sort of disappeared from the public consciousness after the Pirates of the Caribbean and the Duchess and all those kind of movies that Anna Karenina was another one that she was sort of, she was sort of everywhere about a decade ago, and then she sort of disappeared, has had at least one child, I believe, but now she's kind of back choosing her roles and is able to choose her roles a bit more carefully, and she's very good in this. It's also got Matt Smith, of course, Doctor Who, and Prince Philip in the first couple of seasons of The Crown. He plays the Observer reporter who sort of breaks it. But, if you're into those kind of journalism as well as those political thrillers, this is a fascinating account also of how the newsroom dealt with such a story and also the terrible blunder that took place from one of their sub-editors on the front page, which almost got the whole thing discredited.
Is it in the docudrama? Look, these things can be so shallow and once over lightly and unrealistic, or they can be compelling and actually pretty,
Yeah, it's in that kind of, it's in that kind of The Constant Gardener, which of course was actually a drama. It's certainly more on the dramatic side. It's more the Spotlight kind of movie. I think that's probably the best example, and All the President's Men kind of example. It's very much trying to adhere to the facts, but I'm sure that if I delve into it somewhere along the line, there will have been some contractions and characters that are sort of put together. Ralph Fiennes also plays lawyer who decides to defend Catherine Gunn against the charges. And for people who are interested in the British law, there's some great legal battles that go on in order to try and get the case thrown out against her.
What's another that you enjoyed from the festival?
The Aeronauts, which I believe is being touted for potential, award season glory. Now, this reteams Eddie Redmayne and Felicity Jones from the Stephen Hawking biopic, The Theory of Everything. In some ways, the roles are reversed here. This is very much Felicity Jones's time to shine. Not that she didn't shine in that. In fact, I think she was probably overlooked there playing Stephen Hawking's wife. Here, she plays Amelia Wren, who was, I guess, the hot air balloonist extraordinaire of her time in the 1860s. This is based on another true story. And so it's her character and James Glacier who had this radical theory that we could predict the weather, but he needed someone to get him up to as high in the atmosphere as possible to be able to prove that we could predict the weather. The previous record was about, I believe, 23,000 feet before they went up. They got to 36,000 feet. And as this drama suggests, risked life and limb a number of times along the way. Quite how, you know, accurate that is. But this is a great, it kind of reminded me of Touching the Void in terms of placing you in the middle of this, you know, very potentially dangerous sort of situation and really making the viewer feel a part of it. I found myself, you know, feeling vertigo quite a lot. And just the whole, you know, this idea of putting you in a hot air balloon, of course, you know, we feel air travel is, you know, so much safer now, and you don't really get that sensation. But this, it sent a few chills down my spine, and it's another fascinating period drama and well put together.
It's also had a pretty good run through the film festivals as well. It's been pretty well recognised.
Yeah. Look, I think it definitely has potential in terms of Golden Globes, and I'd say more so the BAFTAs. It's just sort of, you know, starting to peak now in terms of interest. I believe it might even be coming out in Britain this week.
And a third choice is Sorry We Missed You. What's this one about?
So this is the latest drama from the man who supposedly retired at least twice, Ken Loach. Now, listeners will probably know some of his recent films or films over the last few decades, like Sweet 16, and in particular, I, Daniel Blake, which was such an amazing drama and searing indictment of the British social welfare system. This focus this time is on zero-hour contracts. So it focuses on one family. The wife of the family is a care worker who's basically is only paid when she turns up to clients. She doesn't have set hours. And her husband, who's had a, you know, string of jobs that haven't lasted, signs up to be a courier driver. And of course, this courier driving role, he's essentially a contractor, although he's obligated as if he's an employee. And it's just the whole nightmare scenario of two parents trying to keep their two kids in line while working these crazy hours, getting fined for trying to take a day off. And it's just, it is a kind of miserablest movie. And anyone who's watched a Ken Loach movie will get a sense of what you're getting yourself into here. But it's just so, you know, beautifully played out. And it just, the tension just builds to breaking point, and you just become invested in the characters and just want it to work out for them.
Is it a polemic out and out?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I guess he hasn't got a government to rail against this time, although in some ways he does. And it's interesting that he hasn't made a Brexit movie so far, but, you know, maybe this is also tied into that. The Dardenne brothers made a movie a couple of years ago about the same kind of idea of zero-hour contracts. But really, if you don't know much about that and you've only heard the phrase, This is a fascinating insight into the kinds of jobs, which I guess relates back to your last speaker, you know, that people have to put up with these days and the in conditions.
Here's the thing. You could run it almost as an out-and-out documentary, couldn't you?
You could.
Or you make it a real drama with all the emotion of the human characters involved at the fore. And has he achieved that? Do you find it... It's obvious what it's about, but you are first and foremost absorbed in them and their emotions and their experiences.
I think one of the things that he's done these days is he picks actors that people don't really know, so it almost does feel more like a documentary. You know, they kind of feel like people who wouldn't look out of place in one of those great BBC, or might be ITV, 7-Up documentaries that, of course, have been run every 7 years. And I believe there might have been another one out in the past year. You know, they just feel like typical. He usually goes for people in the north to give it that grittier kind of feel. This is set in and around Newcastle once again. But, yeah, look, you know, they're great actors, but you don't know who they are. And I think that works. If he had big names in there, even a Timothy Spall, you'd kind of be drawn out of it slightly.
All right.
But here you're really drawn out.
So that's Sorry We Missed You. So all three of these are playing in the British Film Festival, which is touring around the country at the moment. You can get details at britishfilmfestival.co.nz. Now, speaking of other options for things to view, has Doc Edge set up an on-demand service?
They have. So for the first time, Doc Edge has probably been running for about a decade now in Auckland and Wellington, and it brings together some of the best documentaries from around the world every year. It's usually around May, June, but they've recently just set up a short-term on-demand service running until the start of December, which sort of cherry-picks 12 of the best docos from this year's program, and those include things like Sunset Over Hollywood, which I saw during the festival and particularly enjoyed. It's kind of a look at the old age home, if you like, or the retirement village for some of Hollywood's powerful from decades ago. And it's a fascinating, insight into to what happens to the sort of faded stars and also the screenwriters and directors from time gone by. And, and they are still charming in their 90s. Some of them are still working. They have scripting classes and they try to put on their own shows. It's just an absolute delight.
So how big's the selection available on demand?
So there's about 12 in total. There's other ones on Hollywood called like 306 Hollywood. There's a great New Zealand documentary by a guy called Bill Morris, who made a documentary a couple of years ago about called The Sound of Her Guitar, about one of our country and western stars. And I've forgotten her last name, but Donna is her first name. Central to the Soul, which is all about the Arts on Tour in New Zealand program, which of course is this great sort of community run or funded program, which goes out to these places like Tauris and Cromwell and Central Otago and brings these musicians and one-man theatre shows.
Great stuff.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating little documentary. Great. So those are the kinds of things you can get there.
Thank you, James. We'll get the link up, I think, for people. It's a bit long to read out. We'll get a link up on the webpage. Thanks very much, James Crute.